I'm following Joanne Martin down a steep gravel slope, ducking low tree branches and trying not to fall on my butt.
There you go. Okay.
We made it.
She's not going to fall now.
Our trek takes us to the muddy bank of Brady Run, a stream in Beaver County in western Pennsylvania. Martin has been coming to Brady Run for 3 years, testing the water for signs of pollution from natural gas drilling. There's a producing well pad just about a half mile from here. First, Martin plunks in a wood measuring stick to check stream depth.
So then I go upstream a little bit because I don't want to take water from where I disturbed the sediment, because I don't want any of that in the sample.
She takes a small cup, the kind you might use at a doctor's office, and dips it into the stream.
Ah, it's cold!
Back on the bank, Martin uses a pocket-sized monitor to test her sample.
It is measuring the conductivity of the water. The lower the conductivity, the less potential toxicity of the water. So if there's higher conductivity, it would mean that there might be some metals discharging into the stream.
Martin is not a professional scientist, so why is she standing in the middle of a frigid stream on a December morning? Martin is what is called a citizen scientist, and she's been trained by this woman.
I'm Julie Bastine, and I direct the Alliance for Aquatic Resource Monitoring, acronym ALARM, based out of Dickinson College.
For much of its 28 years, ALARM has encouraged citizen science to help communities answer their own questions about the health of their local watersheds. Then, the shale boom hit. Vastine says the big question lately has been how all the drilling and fracking and laying of new pipelines might be affecting Pennsylvania's waterways.
There are limited resources by state agencies, regional agencies to do monitoring, and so it's obvious that we need more boots on the ground to be able to collect water quality data.
ALARM has trained more than 500 volunteers in its strict protocol for sampling local streams and for reporting potential problems to state regulators. Vastine says some people are drawn to the program because they like being part of scientific research. Others, like Joanne Martin, got involved out of worry about fracking's impact on the environment.
When I first started testing, I thought, wow, this would be a perfect opportunity to really, you know, ring the alarm bells and maybe halt the whole production if we actually were to find some contamination in the stream. And really, in the end, no, I don't hope that that happens. But sometimes those are the ways to call attention, is when there is a problem.
That's the key for people like Martin. They want the data they're collecting to get regulators and politicians to pay attention.
If you have facts, you can send it in and say, we want this reported. But until we get those facts, we're on our own.
Janice Winshue and her husband Chuck are taking part in a study on air quality near gas development in Pennsylvania's Susquehanna County. Researchers from the University of London gave them an air monitor to keep on their front porch. Every few weeks, they upload the data from the monitor onto their computer. But here's what's different about this study. The researchers are primarily interested not in the air quality readings, but in what the residents do with the data once they're collected. Jennifer Gabrice is a sociologist leading the study.
Citizens are undertaking monitoring already because they have concerns about their environment. How might they actually develop those practices further in order to actually do something with that data, to actually have conversations with policymakers or regulators or even industry?
But should policymakers and regulators trust data from ordinary people motivated by worry? Citizen science has become a norm in fields like astronomy and birding, but some still question whether this method always produces good data. For example, can scientists trust water quality readings collected by people opposed to fracking? David Resnick is a bioethicist at the National Institute of Environmental Health Sciences.
There is the potential that they could bias their research in a similar kind of way that a company might when it has a financial interest at stake.
Resnick says the work of citizen scientists should be judged the way all science should be judged.
Is it good from a scientific perspective? Is it rigorous? But you also have to ask yourself, well, is it good from an ethical perspective? Does it follow the accepted ethical standards for research?
About a week and a half ago, Chuck Winshue noticed his air quality monitor had spiked to levels he'd never seen before. A message showed up on the screen.
Danger, unhealthy air.
So the Winshoes called the State Department of Environmental Protection, who sent an inspector later that afternoon, along with an energy company representative.
They were very interested in getting here and to see what this thing was.
I'm sorry to say, I don't feel they were as interested in...
No, they weren't interested in what I was breathing that day. They were interested in, where'd you get this machine?
Exactly.
And why are you air monitoring? You know, they kind of indicated, that's our job. And I'm like, well...
The Winshoes say they still don't know exactly what caused their air monitor to spike that morning, but they believe the DEP would never have shown up if they didn't have that device on their porch. So for them, it's a start. For The Pulse, I'm Katie Colinari.